Okay? The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds, bad fruits in his life. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. And God's people said, now, this battle with the flesh, if Apostle Paul struggled with it, we're all going to struggle with the battle with the flesh. And he says there's this great battle that's happening within him, in his heart, in his mind. It's the battle between sinful nature and the new nature that God's working out in his heart, in his life. And it is a battle with the flesh. And I want to specifically go into the battle with the flesh as a battle with selfishness. Okay? Battle with selfishness. And Galatians 6 is that when you are selfish, what's going to happen to your life? There will be a lot of weeds. When you plant selfishness in the soil, your life will be filled with weeds. Right? And those who let God's Spirit do the work in him, harvest crop of eternal life. And there was a passage that I was thinking about what's going on in our heart in Matthew 13. Okay? There was a parable that Jesus gave about, it's a parable of the wheat, which is good, and the weed, which is bad. Okay? The owner of the land first sold good seeds in the field, right? And while everyone was sleeping, an enemy came and sowed weed among the wheat. And then what happened is wheat and the weed grew together. And that's kind of like a good description of what's going on in our heart. Okay? What God is doing and in the flesh, there's a battle, you know, going on, trying to take territory. Okay? And Matthew 13 says the enemy came at night and planted the weed. Okay? And so, what this passage is saying, selfishness is a spiritual battle. Okay? It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle within. It's a battle with the flesh. It's a battle with self. That's why I titled it Battle with Self. And battle with selfishness is, you know, because the description about the weed is very deceptive because like weed, at first, it doesn't seem like a big deal, right? Selfishness. Everybody's selfish, right? It doesn't seem like a big deal. But if you leave it alone and don't fight it, don't pluck it out, right? As we, any homeowners will know, right? We can take over, right? The whole field. Right? The weed can take over your heart, your soul, and your mind. See, when you, you know, if you walk, if there's in your neighborhood an abandoned house, if you walk by an abandoned house, what do you see? Weeds. Okay? Everywhere. Weeds everywhere. But some home, you know, in my home, there's, you know, people that come that takes care of the lawn. But even though it's taken care of, you know, if I really look, hey, there's a weed, you know, there's a weed there. Hey, there's a weed over there. And so, you know, some home you see few, okay, little weeds, but some homes you see is filled with weeds. But it's a spiritual battle. That's a spiritual battle that we all need to fight. It is important to pluck the weed out from the root, selfishness out from the territory of our heart, of our mind, from our soul. Amen? So, when the Bible talks about when you sow selfishness, there will be weed, meaning there's consequences to selfishness. And I want to talk about some of the consequences of selfishness. Number one, okay, you will lose spiritual battle when there's selfishness. Why? When there's selfishness, God is less and less on your mind, right? You don't want to do the things of God. You start to think when there's selfishness, because the self is on the throne, when there's selfishness, I don't need God. I can't do it myself. Right? And selfishness will make you go further and further away from God. Right? It's not, again, it's not other people. Okay? Even though other people might be against God, if there's no selfishness, you will go toward God. But it's the selfishness that's making you go away from God. And further you go away from God, you don't have God's power. You don't have God's authority. You don't have the truth. And then you'll start losing the personal spiritual battle. And when you start losing personal spiritual battle, other things starts to control you. And there's more and more idols in your life. Ultimately, there'll be more bondage in your life. Meaning, you lose spiritual battles. Okay, there's more bondage in your life. Those who have selfishness in the heart, the weed, another weed that grows because of selfishness is you compare yourself to others. Okay? You compare yourself to others. You compare yourself with those who have more. This is what you will do all the time. You compare the houses with somebody else's house, your car with somebody else's car, your salary with somebody else's salary, the education, the family, the marriage, the children. You compare your bodies with somebody else's body. You compare yourself on social media. And this is the enemy's way, using selfishness to grow weed in your heart, meaning this is the enemy's way. When you compare, you'll be miserable. Okay, nothing is good enough anymore. You always, what do they call it? Feel like FOMO, okay, fear of missing out. Okay? You get frustrated about your life. You're never satisfied no matter what you have. And you feel like you've been cheated. Even cheated, because you compare yourself to others. Number three, you lose your identity when you're selfish. Who you are when you're selfish depends on what's most important to you is other people's opinion of you. Your identity goes up and down with the circumstances. How you feel in the morning, is based on, because you listen to lies, pressure, stress, the world, and the devil. Okay? And that's how you lose your identity. Number four, if you're selfish, if they're selfish, again, this is something that we all struggle with. More the weeds, selfishness take over your heart, more you will do this. Number four, you complain. Okay? Okay? Meaning, this is what you will say. That will never work. You focus on past mistakes. You hold on to mistakes and failures of others. You can't trust anyone because they will take advantage of you. And you don't enjoy and celebrate. You don't know how to celebrate the success of others. Right? This is the danger of complaining spirit. The Israelites in the wilderness, they complained a lot. Okay? Every time it got hard, the Bible says they grumble. Okay, in other words, they complain. And this is a big problem with a complaining spirit. Okay? If they just looked up, there was a pillar of cloud in the day. If they just looked up, there was a pillar of fire at night. 24 hours a day, there was an evidence of God. Those pillar of cloud and fire, it was God's way of leading them. In the morning when they woke up, there was manna. At night, there was quail to eat. But because they complained, okay, they couldn't see that God was guiding them. They weren't thankful for the manna in the morning. and quail at night. They couldn't see that God was leading them to a promised land to conquer it. They couldn't see God set them free from slavery. They couldn't see all the miracle God did for them to set them free. Where is God? When their selfishness taking over the heart, they'll say this to you. Where is God? Even though evidence of God is all around them. When you complain, you cannot see God. You can't hear God. You don't see what he has done for you in the past. You don't see what he's doing now. You don't see what he's going to do in your life and called you to do tomorrow. Okay? Number five, when there's selfishness taking the territory of your heart, another weed is, it's never your fault. Right? It's never your fault. More selfishness grow, more you don't take responsibility. Instead, you blame others. It's always someone else's fault. And because of that, you get very easily irritated, very easily offended, very easily you give up. Right? And, you know, insecure people blame themselves. Selfish people blame others. Right? More selfishness, you blame others. But here's the problem. It doesn't stop there. When there's selfishness, the weed's going to grow. You start to blame others. But the root's going to get deeper. Then you start to judge others. Oh, I know what they're thinking. Oh, this is what their problem, their sin. You start to judge them. And without knowing, you start to hurt others around you. Okay. You guys okay? I'm doing this so that we want to pluck the weed out, okay? Number six, you're stuck in the old. Okay, you're stuck in the old. Meaning, you don't grow spiritually. You know, you don't walk out the healing. You don't walk out the freedom. You will not walk out the purpose of God in your life. The old nature, selfishness is so strong, it makes you stuck. You're stuck with the same bitterness, the same anger, the same wounding, the old brokenness, the old bondage. You're stuck. Okay? So you don't grow spiritually. There's no spiritual maturity. And number seven, okay? I'm going to stop there. Okay? Okay? But yeah, I just want to motivate you. Let's take the weed out. Amen? Okay? The selfishness, you know. No deep relationship when there's selfishness. James chapter 4 says this. What causes fight? What causes quarrel among you? Don't they come from your desire that battles within you? There's a spiritual battle that's going on in your heart, inside you, with the flesh. The Bible says selfishness. When that's there, selfishness destroys relationships. It will destroy relationship. It will cause conflict, argument, division, divorce, even wars between nations. It's because of selfishness. Now, this biblical principle, the Bible says, biblical principle of sowing and reaping. There's sowing and reaping. What you sow, you're going to reap. Say that to your neighbor. What you sow, you're going to reap. So when you sow selfishness, there will be weeds in your life. Meaning selfishness will ruin your life. It will ruin your life. Because let me ask you this question. Okay? Think about somebody that you know that's pretty selfish. Maybe in the workplace. Not in this church, of course. in the workplace. That's pretty selfish, right? How many selfish people do you know that are truly happy? Right? How many selfish people do you know that have deep relationships? How many selfish people do you know that are living a life of purpose? And so the Bible says, okay, Apostle Paul saw his flesh, saw the selfishness. And Apostle Paul in Romans 7 says, I want to do good, but evil is right there with me. This selfishness, this flesh, my flesh is waging this war. It's an intense spiritual battle, he says, making me a prisoner. And then he writes Romans chapter 7, verse 24. Okay. He writes Romans chapter 7, verse 24. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? It says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay. The question, Apostle Paul asks, who will rescue me? Who will deliver me? Who will set me free? Who will transform me from my selfishness? And he says, thanks be to God. People, here's the answer. Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus Christ is the answer. God rescues me. God rescues me from myself. God rescues me from selfishness. And there's another passage in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Walk by the Spirit. Say that to your neighbor. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay? You didn't need to repeat that one. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay? Okay. So selfishness makes you lose spiritual battles. God doesn't move in selfishness. When I live for myself, the devil wins. Okay? If selfish, yes, you might be able to make a lot of money. You might succeed in terms of the world, how the world sees as success. But if you're selfish, you will fail in life. Okay? You will fail in life. There will be weeds. Okay? To win the battle with self, the Bible says, walk by the Spirit. Okay? Walk by the Spirit. And the best way to do that, one way to walk in the Spirit, best way to overcome the self and selfishness is make God your foundation. Okay? Say that to your neighbor. Okay, make God your foundation. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says this, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay? Which is Jesus Christ. And as I was preparing this sermon, as your pastor, I didn't want to tell you, okay, there's selfishness, so work harder. You know? I didn't want to try to make you feel guilty so that you try harder. You know, I didn't want to tell you, just deny yourself to overcome selfishness. Right? The biblical teaching to overcome selfishness, it requires humility. And that's very difficult to do, to humble yourself. Right? But before that, to be able to humble yourself and walk out overcoming selfishness, you have to walk with the Lord first. Walk in the Spirit. Make God your foundation. Okay? Make God your foundation. From time to time, you know, we need to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. You know, I need to remind you, and I have to remind myself, I need to rededicate myself to God. And I'm convicted to do this today. Okay, to do this today. Make God your foundation. Why? Because foundation determines what you could build on that foundation. The size of the building. If strong foundation, you can build more on it. A strong foundation also holds up the house in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the shaking. The reason there's division, the reason there's breakdown in relationship, reason we fail in family, in career, and in life, we're not on strong foundation. Okay? We're not on. If the foundation is self, me, myself, and I, the ungodly trinity, okay? Me, myself, and I. If the foundation's on self, it is a swampland. There is no solid foundation. Okay? There is no solid foundation. The Bible says, okay, what does it mean to make God a foundation? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All these things will be given to you as well. Everything else comes secondary. If you get this first, everything else will be fulfilling, good, it's good. It will be added unto you. Okay? When you seek God first, when God is the foundation of your life, you will be able to build. All the other things will be given unto you. You know, there are many good things in life. Okay? You know, like in the teacher's meeting, what came to my mind when I said that, many good things in life, and I thought of cheesecake. Okay? Anyway, that's what came to my mind. There are many good things in life, but they cannot, like cheesecake cannot be the foundation to my life. But there are things in our life that we will agree that is good, like work, right? Work is good. Ministry is good. Okay, church is good. Family is good, right? Marriage. Couples, say that to your, it's good. Say it's good. Look at your spouse, say it, you are, this marriage is good. Huh? Children, okay, they're good. They're good. Huh? Friendship, that's good. They're good. And so, like, you know, that relationship is good. You know, there's relational health, that's good. Physical health is good. Emotional health is good. Financial health is good. Okay? It's good. And those are important things. Those are important. Those are good things, but those things are not good foundations. Did you hear what I said? It's good, but they're not good foundations. Example, and I could go through example, all of them, but something we could relate. Work, you know, proclaim it, work is good. Okay? But when work becomes the foundation and not God in your life, okay, what's going to happen? Work can lead to love of money. Right? And what does the Bible say? Not money is bad, but love of money. And the Bible says love of money leads to all evil, all kinds of evil. Okay? When work is the foundation in your life, what's going to happen? You care about status. You care about position. You care about your image. When work becomes foundation, eventually you become selfish. And, you know, competition. You get very competitive. You become more selfish. You start to step over people to get what you want. You start to control people. And then you become more selfish. Work becomes all about having power. Power. In another word, when work becomes a foundation in your life, you become more and more selfish. It will lead to weeds in your life, bad fruits in your life. Right? And I could go through that with family. I could go through that with marriage. I could go through that church and ministry. My challenge, good doesn't mean best. Okay? Good doesn't mean best. The best foundation is God. Okay? It's God. What this passage in Matthew is saying is Matthew chapter 6. If you want to be the best child, the best student, the best father, the best mother, the best husband, best wife, best friend, best employee, best manager or a boss, best pastor or a missionary, okay, then God must be the foundation. You know what I realized? Being a father, you know, and I have teens now, you know, I go, is that what being a father means? Yeah. No more phone. No more TV. Sleep early. Get up early. Okay? Don't go out too late. That's, and I saw myself, that's what's happening. Wait till you get teens. Okay, wait till you get teens. Wait till your kids grow up. Is that being a father? Just nagging them and they're getting more frustrated, you know. And what I realized, you know, what happens is, you know, you have a baby. It's all about speaking. Without you, they die. You know, they can't live. So you pouring. But you're going to see when your kids turn teen, that doesn't work anymore. Right? And so I was saying, God, be my foundation for my children. Be a foundation for me as a father. That's my prayer because, you know, I'm going, I don't know what to do anymore. It's something to share. I don't know what to do. And you know what? God gives me the patience when I need it. God gives me the understanding. God gives me the empathy. God gives me the time. You know, it's weird. As I pray that, there will be like 10 minutes that God gives me. It's a very special time, and I see that's from the Lord. It's a divine appointment, and that 10 minutes does more than a week vacation in Hawaii in terms of relationship. And that's what God, when you put God as the foundation of all your relationship, right, there's life. There's life. But if it's about self, there's weed. And this is what God is saying. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All the other things will be added unto you. And God's people said, amen.